saw or remember the movie Field of Dreams? Anybody not? Most of us have seen the Field of Dreams. If not, maybe you'll want to watch it now. In this movie, Kevin Costner plays a college-educated farmer in Iowa. And while he's out in his cornfield, he begins hearing a voice. If you build it, he will come. At first, Costner's character, Ray Kinsella, thinks he might be going crazy. But as he continues to listen and look at his life more closely, he fears getting old and becoming simply ordinary before his time, as his father had before him when his father had given up a minor league baseball career in order to raise a family and to take an ordinary job. So Costner's character is guided to create a baseball field from his cornfield, believing that if he does so, his late father's hero, Shoeless Joe Jackson, will return to play. The community thought Kinsella was crazy and had gone mad when he built this baseball diamond in the middle of nowhere. And to make matters worse, the farm was on the verge of bankruptcy. Yet Ray's willingness to step out in faith and follow the voice transformed his life and the lives of those around him. The long-dead Jackson did return and brought other ballplayers with him. In the end, Kinsella's faith was rewarded, and not only did he save his farm, but his dream as well. So what is this story really about? Well, between that song and my words, just that story, it's about faith. Very good. And faith, yeah, you got that one. I was tough. I'm really impressed. So what I have been doing is faith is one of our 12 powers or inherent, we were born with, these powers that most of us don't even know that we have. Co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, studied the Bible metaphysically, and he looked at all the characters, all the places, all the stories as really a reflection, some part of ourselves. So he studied the disciples, and he recognized that each of them had an ability, a special quality or power, he calls them, that all of us have. And so we can use those, and so for this year, every month, I will spend some time on one of these 12 for two reasons. First of all, so that you're aware that you have a faith inherent in your being. Number two, each power, how you can use it, to apply it, to use it to better your life and the world. So, you good with that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, the definition of faith from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, in the book Power Up Your Life, which is one of the two books that I recommend for the 12 powers, the definition of faith is it is the power to spiritually know. Spiritually know. That's different than mentally know. There's a different dimension of spiritually knowing. To trust absolutely, not trust a little bit, but absolutely. Faith is to trust absolutely and to believe with confidence and conviction. How many of you have ever felt like you had lost your faith or were losing your faith in any sort of way, right? Well, here's the truth. You can't lose faith. You were born with it. What happens is it doesn't get developed. And sometimes we have faith in things that aren't necessarily for the highest good. I might have more faith and belief in fear than I do in love. Okay? So we all have faith inside of us that can be strengthened and developed. So how many of you would like to have greater faith? Okay. Anybody not? So in the book that I just mentioned, Power Up Your Life, there is a continuum of faith, okay? And it's called the faith condo, okay? Like a condominium. So the first floor of the faith condominium is hope. And the hope is what pulls us out of the basement of despair, okay? And you need to have hope because hope is that light at the end of the tunnel, which gives you just enough belief to keep going and not give up. So hope is the first step, first floor in the condominium of faith. But you don't want to stay in the land of hope because hope doesn't give us the conviction. It's still, there's fear of outcome. We need to move up from that first level of hope and we go to the next level, which is blind faith. Blind faith is when you just believe everything's going to work out. You have no idea how or why it would work out, but it's going to work out. And then, and what it is you don't understand why it would work out. You just have this, it's going to work out. But here's the thing, in blind faith, you don't want to stay there either because there's still a worry. There's still some doubt. It's going to work out, but you're still not 100% positive that it's going to work out. You have to reassure yourself and keep saying it's going to work out, because you don't necessarily believe it 100%. So that's your blind faith. What happens is we go through our lives, hopefully doing some spiritual learning and growing. And in that process, we learn about something called spiritual laws. There are physical laws like gravity and electricity. There are laws in the metaphysical world that we learn these spiritual laws, and these spiritual laws work when we can understand them. And when I start to have a greater understanding of a spiritual law, then I start to realize there is a law that says it's done unto you as you believe, okay? That is, for instance, a law. And if I buy that 100%, then I have what is called the penthouse of faith. And that's called understanding faith. So I want to live in that knowledge, the understanding of spiritual laws, that this is going to work because I understand that there's a law that is supporting what I am talking about. This, it is done unto you as you believe. Here's another example of a spiritual law. It's a quote given by Emerson. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, it is physics. That is a spiritual law. So if I realize that matching my frequency vibrationally, energetically, with what I desire, it's going to be mine at some point, because that is a spiritual law. And I want to live in understanding faith. I want to have that knowledge. So again, it is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith also means that we're looking beyond appearances, which you sang about, and I loved how much that matched the reading I did as well, that there was beyond appearances. Charles Fillmore. And here's the other book that all of you are going to get, because we're going to be looking at this book throughout the year. And if you want to have a deeper understanding of each of these, I'm not telling you everything that is said, but you want to get the book Divine Audacity by Linda Martello-Witsette. And every month you can read about that particular power that you have to understand it more and to incorporate it even more. So Charles Fillmore defines faith. He calls it the perceiving power. of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. It is a spiritual assurance and the power to do what is seemingly impossible. Faith is a force that draws to us our heart's desire right out of the invisible spiritual substance, which I sort of just spoke about in that energy law. It is a deeper knowing that what is being sought for is already ours for the taking, the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the power to make the possible, and I'm going to add the impossible, real. Our very sense of reality, listen to this, your very sense of reality depends upon faith. We're going to take this deeper. It is the power that realizes, makes real, the images held in your mind. And when I say realize, it's because you're seeing with real eyes. You're seeing with divine eyes that that is real. You go beyond the appearances. So Linda Martillowitzet breaks down each of the powers into three components. So faith, the first component of faith is perception. She says that our faith is based on our perception. Now, how you perceive or see something is actually what you believe about that something. I'm going to say that again. What you see isn't really the thing itself. What you see is your belief about that thing. I want you to chew on that one. That is your contemplation for the week. Realize that you never see the thing itself. You only see what your belief is about the thing. OMG, right? You go, wow, that's deep. And that is something to chew on, because everything you see is what you believe it to be. And you don't see the thing itself. Linda Martillowitzet says our faith is based on our perceptions. Our perceptions are based on our beliefs. So what is a belief? A belief is a thought I hold to be true. Say that again. A belief is a thought I hold to be true. And you know, the thought may not even be true. So maybe questioning our beliefs. So how important are beliefs? They're everything. Your beliefs are everything. Your world is built on our beliefs. Conscious and unconscious beliefs form our perceptions, and our faith is based on that. The good news, want to know the good news?
Yes.
You can change your beliefs. Because here's the thing, we're born, babies don't have beliefs. Okay, what happens? Well, the babies that we were are taught, we're conditioned, Don McGurl-Weiss says we're domesticated. We are taught what is what to believe, what not to believe, what's good, what's bad. And you think the authorities know what they're talking about, but you know what? They're just giving you what they've learned or been taught. So they're not concrete. They can be questioned. And to understand that I can create a new belief. I can create a new perception. But it takes a little bit of work. So would you like to know how to change your beliefs?
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a couple ways. Number one, there is a class coming up. Yes, this is a plug, shameless plug. It's called Discover Your Divinity. This is hot off the presses. I think it came out 2 months ago. It is a modern guide to affirmative prayer. If you want to have a deeper understanding of what God is from the unity point of view, because it's not what you might think it is, this will shift your perception. You start to read this with a group of people and you go, I never saw God in that way. And my relationship to God, what is that? And what is this thing called affirmative prayer and how does it work? This will help you have perhaps a new idea, a new thought, which can turn into a new belief, which creates a new perception, and I'll say your stronger faith. So this is way number one. Number two, identify what you believe. That takes a little work. Where do you want to have some stronger faith? Where do you have some issues in life? You get to write down, spend some time, you get to say, what I believe about money, what I believe about love, what I believe about women, what I believe about men, what I believe about politicians. You put the word in there, right? And then you write down every single thought you have. You might say, well, I don't know that I believe that. Write it down, because if it's in your consciousness, it needs to be looked at. So once you have written down, here's all the beliefs that I have about, quote, whatever that is, then you rate each one of them. How much do I believe that to be true? Could be a 1, not much, I don't believe it to be true, or a 10. Now, you're putting both your positive thoughts, beliefs, and your low vibrational negative beliefs. If it's a positive belief and you have rated a 10, stay with it. But if it's a disempowering belief and you rate an 8, 9, or 10 near that belief that you have realized, oh, that's not a great belief, that's not life-affirming and empowering, well then, that's when you get to create a new statement, an affirmation that is life-affirming and empowering. So now you've got your statement. I'm telling you, this takes work, but it's your life, and we get to do with it as you will. Or you can do it the easy way and take the class. No, I'm just kidding. You can do both, because, right? So then, once you have your statement, your life-affirming, empowering statement that you want to believe instead, you say it, you chant it, you say it, feel it, over and over and over again. And at first, you won't believe it, because it's going contrary to what you've been believing. But with repetition, it will get deeper, and you'll start creating a new groove in your brain. So you need to, I don't believe it, but if you do it enough times, shift happens. You're quick. And you've all heard the statement, fake it till you make it. How about faith it till you make it? You like that? That's empower up your life. I can't say I created that. Our faith is based on our perceptions, which is based on our beliefs. So your faith is based on what you believe, but it's also based on being able to see past appearances, okay? Because the definition, again, is faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things, what's the word? Unseen. Okay, Jesus told us, great way shower, judge not by appearances. Okay, that means we need to see beyond the appearance. I read about that in the Daily Word. See beyond the appearance and see the spiritual truth and perfection, divine perfection of the being. Divine audacity. She writes, actually it's a quote by Hausman. Faith is that quality that makes us, that enables us to look past the appearances of lack, limitation, or difficulty, to take hold of the divine idea and believe in it, even though we do not see any evidence of it except in our mind. Through faith, we know with an inner knowing the truth that has not yet expressed in our manifest world. How many people did Jesus heal? You've heard this before, but you're excellent. Good answer, right answer. He didn't heal any, zero, zip. Because when Jesus saw people, he did not see their disease or their situation or their condition. He looked at them and said, you're perfect, whole, and complete. He just saw the divine perfection of each person. And he this belief in what he saw, because he saw past the appearance. So he's got a perception and a belief that you're a divine being, perfect, whole, and complete. And because he held this belief, it led to the second component of faith that Linda Martillo-Witsett writes about, and that's called conviction. He was so believing it, absolute certainty. See, conviction is the mindset of faith. It's the assurance and trust that what I believe is absolutely true, no doubt whatsoever. Jesus demonstrated what conviction is when he saw this man who had been lame all of his life. He looked at him and said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." He wasn't wishy-washy, thinking, "I hope he gets up and walks when I tell him to." He didn't wishy-washy. He just saw his perfection, and he had such a strong conviction and belief, there's no doubt about it, "Get up and walk, take your bed and go." And the man got up and went, got up. To have that level of conviction is that element of faith that once we have a perception, now it's solid. I have it down. I know without a doubt this is so, period. End of discussion. And living in this second component of conviction leads us to component number three, and that is positive expectancy. Expectancy. Have you ever expected something in your life? Of course you have. That's just part of our human nature, to expect things. Ever expect something to happen and it didn't? And how do you feel? Discouraged, disappointed, let down, maybe sad, depressed. You just go, you know? So there's two levels, two dimensions to expecting. The first level is expectation. An expectation means that you're holding your thought, your idea on your timeline of what's going to happen and when and how, right? I expect this is going to happen, right? And I might be convicted in that. It's more, expectation is more about wanting to control. Nobody wants to ever control here, so never mind. But it's about wanting to control someone or something. And when you have an expectation, you're not open to anything else. It's this way. And when you have that level of expectation, you can be disappointed, discouraged, let down. The second component, dimension of expecting, is expectancy. The difference is, expectancy is having a desire for something to be manifest, but not having a timeline or a demand that it has to be a certain way. We hold our dreams and visions with open hands, believing and recognizing that the divine that is breathing me is bringing forth only the highest and greatest good of itself for me and as me. Expectancy doesn't expect things. Expectancy is the faith that something good is coming, and it releases the expectation of how or why it will come about, right? How about a quote from Marianne Williamson, since she's going to be here on Friday? Just had to say, right? In the book Return to Love, she says, "To trust in the force that moves the universe is faith. Faith isn't blind, it's visionary. Faith is believing that the universe is on our side and that the universe knows what it's doing. Faith is a psychological awareness of an unfolding force for good, constantly at work in all dimensions. Our attempts to direct this force only interfere with it. Our willingness to relax into it allows it to work on our behalf. Without faith, We're frantically trying to control what is not our business to control and fix what is not in our power to fix. So in my life, here's an example. I've candidated for ministerial positions. When I candidate for a position, and I've been on this several different times, I believe it is my job. It is my ministry. This is where I'm going. I have no doubt whatsoever. So I'm convicted that this is going to be mine. However, when sometimes is not the choice that they pick, but in order for me not to move into expectation, I stay in expectancy because I have a line that I use that you can use too. And it's called this and or something even greater. Let's say that together. This and or something even greater. Because that keeps me open. If I say, this is my position and I don't get it, poof, I'm down. I'm going to be discouraged, disappointed. But hey, I guess it wasn't the greatest. And so I'll hold out and it'll be Unity Santa Fe because it was the best. But that is the line you can use for your keeping yourself open for expectancy. Now, I have one more story to share, a great story on expectancy. However, I want to share this. How many of you know what the art of faith is? Art of faith. Nobody. Would you like to know what the art of faith is?
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
Then you'll have to come back next week. I had to leave you with some expectancy. Right? So there's a story, and it's about a community in the Midwest that was suffering a great drought. And the farms were drying up, the farms, everything was going dead. And there was a lot of concern and fear. So the minister calls everybody on a Sunday to the town square because they're going to pray for rain. So hundreds of people, all the community comes out to the village square to pray for rain. And there's hundreds of them. And the minister stands there and he looks out among the hundreds of people and he spots a little 7-year-old boy. And that 7-year-old boy is carrying an umbrella. Okay, that is called expectancy. Was prepared to believe that it's going to rain. We're praying for rain. It's going to happen. Right? So if we really believe it's going to rain, then we're going to act differently. We're going to walk differently. And we're going to come prepared, even in the middle of a drought. So whatever it is that you would like to have stronger faith in, start to imagine it. Imagine your field of dreams, your river of dreams. Imagine it and start to see it, perceive it as so. Believe it with conviction and remember to live with expectancy that this and something greater is happening for you in your field of dreams or in your river of dreams. And remember to take your umbrella, and so it is.